Hello once again, Cougar football fans. Welcome back inside Studio C at the BYU Broadcasting Building in Provo, Utah for our Week 11 bye week edition of the Coordinator's Corner presented by JCW's The Burger Boys. This will be our last show before a short one-week break. Then our season finale will follow the Georgia Southern game and then preview USC later this month. Coming up on today's show, we look back at a 59-14 win over Idaho State in BYU's home finale, a win that precedes the Cougars' lone bye week of the season. Cougs hit the bye week ranked 14th in the AP and 15th in the coaches' polls this week. And with us today, BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick and defensive coordinator Eli Satuiaki. First half hour, we hit the offensive side of the ball with Coach Roderick. Aaron, good to see you once again.
Good to be here.
Well, let's go to the build-up to the game, having it be senior day.
Yeah.
And kind of a strange senior day this year because we had a lot of guys who were not thought of as seniors being honored. Guys like Tyler Algier, Lopini Katoa, James Empey, Neil Pau, Gunnar Romney, to name a handful. That's a pretty significant portion of your starting offense.
Yeah, we're still feeling the effects of the COVID year, you know, with last year not counting against people's eligibility. But of course, all those guys got a full year of academic work done. And so every football team in America has a handful of guys that have decisions to make, whether they're guys that have a chance to turn pro or whether they're guys that are just coming to the end academically and might want to move on with their lives. And so Kalani just thought it was best to anybody that had any chance of maybe this being their last game, let's honor them. And then, of course, the door's wide open for most of those guys to return if they want to.
Do you get a little uneasy when you see the number of names and the kinds of names on the list?
A little bit, but we have good communication with going with all those guys, and you'll see a good number of those guys come back. There might be a couple that move on, but I think unless you're going to be a first or second round draft pick, it's wise to stay in college, and it's hard to be a first or second round draft pick.
It is. So maybe you've kind of hinted at it, but I'm sure fans are most concerned about maybe Tyler Algier's status. He's a COVID sophomore, putting up some big college numbers right now. If you had to make the case for him playing another college season, is it that?
Yeah, it's just what I just said. Unless you're going to be a first or second round pick, I think it's wise to stay in school. And I don't know. We don't have all the information yet about where he stands in the draft and all that stuff. We'll get a good amount of information here shortly on that, and I will be talking to him about what we think is best for him. And Kalani always puts the player's best interest first, but that's what I would recommend.
Right. And as someone myself who loves the stats and the numbers and climbing charts and things like that, he'd be an all-timer clearly if he has another year of school.
No doubt. He would probably, next year, you just name it, he'll be on every list of legitimate candidate for the highest awards in college football next year, you would think.
All-America, Heisman, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Gunnar Romney, another guy on that senior day list.
Yeah.
He's missed the last two games with injury. He's had a good season. I'd love to see him back. Do you get a sense of where he's leaning?
I don't want to speculate on that, but I will be meeting with him as well. And I know Fessy's been in regular communication with him, and he's been a really good player for us, and he's basically been a four-year starter. He started on and off as a true freshman. We would love to have him back. He's a really good football player. I also would not be surprised at all to see him playing on Sundays in the future. So he's got a tough decision to make as well, but we definitely want him back if he wants to be here.
What kind of timelines are you hoping for or dealing with right now in terms of finding out what you've got, what you don't have, so you can start planning for the next roster?
I think we'll probably know most of those things, by the time we go to our bowl game. I would expect that around that time, you're talking about the early signing day, and mm-hmm. you're talking about guys needing to make decisions about what they're going to do in January, whether they'll come back to school or not. And so, it's more up to Kalani than me, but that's my estimate would be around whenever our bowl game is.
Gotcha. All right, let's get into how you approached the FCS game. What is your personal sense on FCS games, the value of them, and how do you think about reps and snaps before you go into a week like that?
Well, it's a valuable game because it's another opportunity to play, and it was an opportunity to get a lot of guys in the game that haven't gotten a chance to play this year. And it was just weird because most teams play an FCS team early in the season, And so ours just happened to be later in the year. Although some of the SEC teams sometimes play a game like this later in the year.
Yeah, they do that.
Before their rivalry games and stuff. But it's valuable because we get to get a lot of people in the game. And so we learned a lot about some of our younger players in this game. Sometimes it's a frustrating game because you expect every play to be perfect, and you got to give credit to the other team that they're out there trying hard too, and sometimes they make a good play. But at the end of the day, we won by a wide margin, and it's a win in the win column, just like any other game. And we've had some really tough opponents this year, so it was nice to be able to get a lot of guys out there and get a chance to play.
You used the word perfect. It was certainly a perfect start to the game. First five drives, five touchdowns. That is a perfect start. And I want to show the first score because a great patient run by Tyler Allgeier to get in the end zone.
Yeah. Yeah, this play, we actually blocked it correctly, but it just took a second to sort out. And I thought Tyler just showed good patience here, feeling the blocks. And then it hit one gap tighter than it was supposed to, but that was more due to what they did. We were on the right guys, and you know, he's got great vision and great patience.
You have more important things to worry about. Quick thought on the uniform combo with the navy white.
I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
it's
fun.
All right.
It's been a fun thing for our players. You know, the uniform stuff. It wears me out a little bit sometimes. All the different things, but I'm just glad that they get to have fun with it. And
right.
Kalani gives them a lot of say.
And every week it's something different.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
All right. Second drive. You're backed up to a 2nd and 20. Suboptimal at your own 11.
Yeah.
Screen, though, to Tyler for the longest reception of his career.
Yeah, two games in a row we've gotten this screen. We got one against Virginia on a 3rd and 12, and then we got this one on 2nd and 20. So it's been, this play has been coming along for us. We put a lot of practice reps into it and hadn't used it early in the year, and it's been good the last two games.
I was a little concerned the way I saw him go down. Every time you see a guy land on a shoulder like that, you get a little concerned. I saw him shaking it out on the sideline, but he did come back and get some more touches on that.
I was more concerned about how he was swinging the ball right there. I was a little afraid that was going to get poked out, but because he usually holds it really tight. But Joe Tukuafu had an amazing block on that play, by the way. He had a pancake block out in space. It was really great.
O-line, and we'll talk about this maybe a little bit later, but O-line group stayed pretty intact for quite a while in this game.
Yeah, we played with most of the starting five for most of three quarters.
Yeah.
The reason for that is we wanted to give Baylor a chance to play with a good cast around him. And so we didn't want to just wholesale sub right away. So that third quarter, we left most of the starting players in. Tyler wasn't in, and Neil wasn't in there, and we took Puka out. But everybody else, the O-line, tight ends, and we had some good receivers out there with him. We were just trying to give Baylor a chance to get some good reps.
Third drive of the game came after a sudden change INT by the defense. Pepe, nice pick.
Yeah.
So he had a short field. QB sneak for Jaren Hall, 3rd and goal from the 1. Jaren's now 5 for 6 on his 3rd and 1 conversions this year.
Yeah, he's a weapon. And you know, sometimes it's pulling the ball where it looks like he's going to hand it to Tyler and he'll pull it. And then sometimes, like on these sneaks, he's just a really strong, low center of gravity guy. He can get behind the center and push the pile, and that's what he did here.
What are your personal feelings on when and how to use sneak?
Well, it's more based on the type of defense we play. You know, if they're going to load up those A-gaps and have a big guy over the nose, then maybe sometimes we'll do something else. And if they're going to give us one of those A-gaps, then we'll do it. In this case, we just did it as a fast-paced play. This got on the ball and snapped it fast before they can get lined up. So we mix it up. And it also depends on how good your quarterback is at it.
Right.
I've seen quarterbacks that just don't have a knack for it, and so you might stay away from it. But Jaren's really good at it.
Are there some plays when Jaren can call in or out of the sneak depending on how he reads the gaps?
Yeah, he can. We've had some stuff in play where he can change the play if he wants to. Yep.
Okay, 21-0 lead after the first quarter. Second straight game with a 21-0 lead.
Yeah.
You had 3 third-down conversions on your 4th drive. It was the first drive of the 2nd quarter, and it ended with Keanu Hill's first touchdown of the season.
Yeah, Keanu is a guy that I'm really proud of him because every time he's gotten an opportunity to play in the last two seasons, he's shown up and played well. And it just so happens that he's been playing behind some more experienced, really good players. And he's always kept a good attitude about it and just kept working. And now he's getting his chance to play, and he's proven to us that he deserves it. And so you're going to see a lot more of him in the next couple games.
And with no Gunner in this game, there were some more snaps available.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, he got more snaps, and Neil going down, we just felt like Keanu was the next man up, and we'll keep using him. He deserves to play.
So he's expanding his own role right now.
Yeah, and sometimes you play a guy more just because they earn it. Even if somebody's not out, you just find a way to use them more, and might take a few snaps away from somebody else, but you just spread the wealth a little bit. And I think that would be the case, even if Gunner and all those guys were up. Keanu is just showing that he deserves to play. He's a big body. He catches the ball with his hands, and he's hard to defend just because of his great size. He's a really smart player. He can play all of our receiver spots. He's an excellent special teams player. He's a great teammate. He's a good, great member of our team.
Excellent. So 28-0 lead after the Keanu TD. Idaho State was punting or turning it over on pretty much every possession against the ones. Your fifth drive, this was a Puka Nacua possession. Yep. The last three plays of the drive all went to Puka, including the TD toss.
Yeah, this was an unbelievable throw and catch. On the touchdown pass, but Puka just has a knack for it. You know, he breaks tackles and he runs so hard. He's so hard to tackle. Every time we get him the ball, he makes so many yards after the catch that it's just, you just want to keep going to him. So the third play on this was by design. It was a fast paced play. We just said, all right, he's just had two great plays. Let's feed him again and see if he can go get it. And Jaron made a great throw and a great catch by Puka.
Yeah, great conditioning, too, because he just had the longer play where he shook off a couple guys, was right back to it, and then found himself in the end zone.
Yeah, it's just kind of like if someone has a hot hand, just go again, go again. You know, we do that with Tyler sometimes. When he gets rolling, we'll keep giving him the ball again, give him the ball again. We've had games before where we go at Gunner a couple times in a row because he's going. We did it with Dax a few times last year. It's just a feel thing in a game. If someone has a hot hand, you might want to give him another chance.
Right. So in the half, and it was a one-half day for Puka, right?
Yeah.
6 for 120 and a score. He has 400-yard games, 400-yard games, three of them in the last four. And this was after just kind of ramping up at the start of the season.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what he could have done if he was healthy from the start of the season. You know, he did very little in fall camp. Shockingly little, just because he was injured.
Might have been like first day he got in, then he was
coming
out.
Yeah, and so we had to bring him along slowly just from a practice rep standpoint and from a health standpoint. We had to be really cautious with him for the first several games he played in. Now he's 100% and knows what we're doing, and he's playing really well.
Absolutely. So you mentioned that you want to be perfect, and you were up 35-0. Your sixth drive gave us the first real negative play of the day for BYU. It's a lost fumble inside your own 20. ISU gets the ball at the 17. They have a three-play touchdown drive. All you really want with your ones is to play clean, right, and leave with ideally a zero on the board the other way. There went the shutout, but it wasn't really all on the D. They got a short field.
Yeah, it was disappointing, really disappointing that we turned the ball over two times. Both of them were just poor fundamentals by us. You know, we had an exchange between Jaron and Peeney that was something we do every single day, and they didn't execute the exchange, and then had another fumble that just uncharacteristic of our team. They happened, and I'm glad we got the win, but that's not how we want to play. We take pride in taking care of the football.
The giveaways are so rare, though.
Yeah,
nine turnovers, nine giveaways in 10 games.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't ever want to say any of them are acceptable, but it's something we've done well this year, and we got to get back to doing, you know, taking care of the ball in our next game against Georgia Southern.
I blame the state of Idaho. Six of the nine giveaways have been against Boise State and Idaho State.
About that.
Up 35-7, you got one more drive before halftime. You went 2 minute, used Buck 05 off the clock. You found Neil Pau'u at the goal line. And all you want to do, in addition to, you know, playing clean, is leave without an injury, right, to one of your top guys. And Neil did get hurt on the scoring play.
Yeah, unfortunately, he got injured on this play. The last play of the half. We were just trying to get to halftime with our starters, and we thought this last minute of the half was a great opportunity to work our 2 minute drill and work our mechanics. You know, those opportunities are precious, and you want to, you know, you do it in practice, but the game opportunities are valuable. We wanted to go get one more score, and we marched it right down the field, did a nice job executing as a team, and unfortunately that injury on the last play was just a shame.
Anything you could say about Neil right now?
I don't have the final news on that yet, but it doesn't look good. Yeah.
It's unfortunate. Well, Tyler Allgeier, I don't think he got a second quarter touch. I think he was in the game for a few, maybe in the second. I'm not sure. I don't think he got a touch in the second quarter. He was going to be done at halftime anyway, right?
Yeah, he was going to be done at halftime at the latest. We kind of just decided we were just going to see how the game was going, and then the decision was made pretty early that put him on ice. And he's carried the ball so much this year. He's pretty beat up. We have a bye week coming. We thought, if we've got the game in control, let's get him some rest. Rest him more on the bye week, and then he can really go hard the last three games.
Okay. Jaren Hall's first half. And again, these numbers kind of get, you know, overlooked sometimes. But 20 for 25 for 298, four touchdowns, no picks. The four touchdowns, career high, they came in a half. And a pass efficiency rating, 232.9. You expect to do well against a team like Idaho State. That said, it's a career-high pass efficiency, and whether it's FCS or P5, he's kind of been the same guy since he's come back.
Yeah, he gets better every game, and like you said, I mean, opponent aside, I mean, there's been a lot of FCS opponents over the years where the quarterback doesn't put up those kind of numbers, and so his decision-making is really good right now. He seems to be getting better every game. He takes great care of the football. That's the best thing, is just the ball is rarely in jeopardy. And, you know, so as long as we possess it, we have a chance to score with it. And then he's just making big plays. There's so many explosive throws down the field. He's a threat to pull it and run at any time. And he's doing a good job.
Were you pretty content with your first half, all things
considered? Yeah, that was a good half. We took, you know, we did a lot of good things. I thought we were explosive. Other than the turnover, I was happy with how we played.
All right, it is break time. When we come back, we'll hit the second half of BYU's win over Idaho State, and we'll get Coach Roderick's Offensive Players of the Week. As we head to break, this reminder that BYU football with Kalani Sitake and BYU basketball with Mark Pope is airing at a special time tonight, 6:30 Mountain Time, on the BYU TV app. This is the Coordinator's Corner, back after this.
Throw is to Puka in the end zone, and he makes the catch for the touchdown! The Cougs go hurry up, and Jaren Hall back-to-back to Puka.
Coordinator's Corner continuing now with offensive coordinator and QB coach Aaron Roderick. BYU hitting its bye week at 8-2 on the season after a 59-14 home win over Idaho State on Saturday afternoon. Time for a bye week now before a two-game stretch run at Georgia Southern and USC to end the season. Visiting with BYU OC Aaron Roderick, and up 42-7 at halftime. What did you have as your objectives for the second half of play when you were going to be pulling a lot of starters out?
Well, first objective was to give Baylor a good cast of players around him to go out and have a good quarter. I wanted to get him at least one good quarter with an offensive line and receivers and tight ends that, you know, have been playing and could execute. And so we, for the most part, we didn't sub too much until later in the fourth quarter. But that was our first objective, was just get Baylor some good work. He hadn't played in a few weeks. And then after, the other thing was just to play clean. You know, we wanted to play clean football, you know, and just to execute our offense. And then as the subs start to come in, the idea we talked about halftime was, as we start to sub, keep playing clean football, no drop off, you know. And unfortunately, that's probably the only thing I'm disappointed about the game, was we did not maintain that same level of execution in the second half that we did in the first.
You got the ball to start the second, Baylor Romney in. Not the start you wanted, two false starts and a three and out. Idaho State, one of those teams that uses the D-line shift to draw linemen into moving, and it worked a couple times.
Yeah, and yeah, I don't want to make excuses. I think what they're doing is, by the letter of the law, I think it's illegal. And it's interesting that some officiating crews call it really strictly. Some allow it to happen.
And some you can kind of remind, and they'll try to fix it.
Yeah,
for you.
It was borderline, but bottom line is, we got to handle it better. We knew they were going to do it. We saw it on film. They do it to everybody they play. You know, we've played some other teams this year that do it the same way they do, and for some reason it affected us more Saturday than it had all year, and it really affected some of our younger players who haven't played a lot.
I thought that too. Second drive of the second half, another three and out, but the third drive got you going, and that was a big series for Keanu Hill.
Yeah, Keanu had a nice game. I mean, he had, I think, close to 100 yards receiving.
Yep.
He's really, really big target. He's got a big range. You can throw it anywhere around him, and he makes the catch look easy. And he's lost some weight this year. Fessy made him get down. You know, he's about 11, 12 pounds lighter this year, so I think he's moving better than he's ever moved before, and he's just learned to take really great care of his body, and he's got a really bright future.
He had a TD to make it 49-7, big kickoff return right after that, and it gave them Idaho State another short field, a one play TD drive. We almost never even see kickoff returns these days, and this one kind of got BYU.
Well, and I'm not super involved in special. In fact, I'm not involved at all in special teams. I think this is another case where we had some young guys out there that maybe haven't played a lot this year, and I'll let Coach Lamb talk about that. But I think that was the case, and so that, again, that's one of those things. You know, in these games, you want to see how your young players are going to perform.
Then there was a good special teams play for BYU. Hobbs Nyberg punt return set you up, and then you were going in again, and then that was that lost fumble we saw from Carter in the second half. I do have a question, though, because this would be the punt return setting up the shorter field that the fumble loss came on. But when the replay was shown in the stadium, talk about the Carter Wheat hit now.
Yeah.
You heard a lot of negative react. At least, you know, you could tell the crowd was upset. And then I got a lot of stuff on social media coming in about why wasn't there a targeting call? Because as Carter's hung up or held up, he gets hit pretty good. And that's when the ball kind of came loose. And there's a mechanism for the booth to institute a targeting call, but it can't come from a challenge. It can't come from the field, right?
Yeah, it looked like targeting to me, but we need to hold on to that ball. So the rule is there's still so much gray area in how they officiate that rule. I'm not even really sure how to comment on it, but there was a pretty hard helmet to helmet hit right here.
And again, it's if it doesn't happen on the field, replay a booth has the authority to actually institute a targeting call and buzz down with it. They didn't do that. And if a coach wants it, they can't get it. It's one of those things you can't challenge.
Correct. So. And I don't know what kind of film angles they had or anything like that. But we had a tough one go against us in the Virginia game, and then we didn't get this one. So you just got to keep playing.
Your final score of the day was the block punt. Somebody we've talked about a lot already, Keanu Hill, ends up with BYU's first punt block touchdown in 17 years.
Yeah, good for him. It's awesome. Great special teams play, and happy for that kid. He's, like I've been saying all this whole show, he's earning his right to be more involved in our offense and doing great things on special teams as well. He's always played hard on special teams, and sometimes those things are things you notice, like, hey, maybe this guy could do that for us on offense as well.
In this game, we saw a little more of Jackson McChesney, and Hinkley Ropati took a couple snaps as well. Yep. Jackson ended up as your leading rusher on the day.
Yeah, and it was good to get those guys in, and they both did some good things, and they both did some things that, you know, there were some things they could probably do better, but those are valuable snaps. Every single one of those plays is valuable for their experience. It's valuable for us in evaluating them. It's valuable just just to get those live reps. It's different than practice for sure, because we don't get to tackle to the ground very much in practice. And so seeing the guys actually get hit and tackled to the ground and have to pass protect and with a real pass rush, those things are hard to simulate in practice.
Let's get to your offensive players of the week now for the Idaho State game.
Yeah, Jaron and Puka, I mean, broken record, right? They've both been playing really well. We already mentioned just how efficient Jaron was. Those are pretty great numbers for one half. And Puka as well, he played one half also. And just really glad we have both those guys playing like they are, and we've got to just keep it going.
Hey, 10 games into the season, I want to get to some of the season-high superlatives, at least category-wise, for your offense. These are categories that are top 25 right now nationally. And one of the most important ones, turnover margin, you're a top 10 team. You're sitting at sixth nationally in TO margin. And here are some other categories at which the offense is excelling through 10 games. I'll mention them before the graphic comes up. Fewest interceptions thrown on the year, you're sitting at three. First downs on the year, you're top 10. Top 15 in third down efficiency, pass efficiency, and in fewest sacks allowed, you're top 25.
Yeah, and those are good. You know, I think there are certain stats in football that don't mean a lot, and all the ones you just mentioned I think are important. Those are ones that we focus on. Taking care of the football is number one. I mean, you cannot score if you don't possess it. And so we put a lot of emphasis on taking care of the ball. I don't ever say don't throw an interception, but we talk a lot about making good decisions with the ball, and we're doing a good job of that. Jaron and Baylor have done a good job with that. You know, obviously getting a lot of first downs is key because you're possessing the ball and it shows that you're moving it on people. And then third downs are huge because that keeps your drives alive and staying on the field. And the pass efficiency number means a lot more to me than actual yards. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of teams out there that throw for a million yards and go 6-6. And a lot of those teams aren't helping their defense out a lot. And so we want to be an efficient passing offense, an explosive passing offense, or we want to be a team that can throw the ball down the field anytime we want, but not necessarily a team that's just looking for total yards all the time.
And not pictured there, listed there, but you mentioned explosives. BYU is one of the best teams in the country, too, at long scrimmage plays as well.
Yeah, we've had a lot of explosive plays in the run game and the passing game, and we're looking for more in the next couple weeks.
Okay. Finally, the overall satisfaction level with the weekend?
It was a good win. And like I said, sometimes you leave. It's funny how coaches, we're such perfectionists. We leave 59-14 victory. You leave kind of a little sour taste in your mouth that we didn't finish that second half a little better. But at the end of the day, we had a nice win by a wide margin. It's nice to be 8-2 right now. We get a week off. I like the position we're in right now, and I'm really excited about our next game.
Excellent. As we go to break, a reminder that dinner after the game at JCW's includes something for everybody, from burgers to wings, shakes to salads, JCW's quality, and a lot of it in Lehigh, American Fork, Provo, South Jordan, and Harriman. This weekend, BYU is off. No game on the Cougars' bye week. When we come back, we'll see how the team plans to handle this week and see if there's anything for social media for Coach Roderick. You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's, the Burger Boys.
Belt high snap, punt away, blocked, and a touchdown for BYU on the punt block. That's another way to do it. Keanu Hill made the punt block, and the Cougs recover for a score.
You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys, chatting with BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick, wrapping up with Coach A-Rod. BYU ranked 14th and 15th in the two major polls this week at 8-2. We'll see where the Cougars land in tomorrow night's college football playoff rankings. BYU was 15th there last week. What do you think, by the way, the first CFP rankings coming out, putting BYU at 15?
It was exciting, yeah. I mean, it's good honor for our players that, you know, they've been winning a lot of games, and I thought... it's nice for our players to be acknowledged. We know we have to keep winning to have it mean anything, but
right.
It is nice for our players to be acknowledged like that for their efforts.
Saturday is an off day for BYU, late in the season bye week for the Cougs, and I guess it would have been nice in some ways if you would have snuck one in earlier, as tough as it's been, because you lost a lot of guys through 10 hard weeks.
Yeah, playing that many Power 5 teams, you know, we got banged up, but it's a good lesson for the future. We know what we're going to be up against in the future, and you know, you play in a Power 5 conference, it's going to be physical every week. And so it does come at a good time. And offensively, we're pretty healthy for the most part. And I think, but it'll still be nice to have a week to just fully get our guys, everybody's legs fresh and get some good work done leading into that Georgia Southern game.
10 of 12 games in the books, and there you see the stretch run on the road. It's the earliest home finale BYU had in quite some time this past weekend. A quick question from social media, hashtag CCBYU for Aaron Roderick from Amy. Simply wants to know, is Carter Wheat okay after the big hit he took at the end there?
Yeah, he's fine, yeah.
Nothing untoward there happened?
Yeah,
good.
Exactly.
All right, well, this turns out, so there's no show next week because of the bye. There's one more show. It'll have Coach Tuiaki and Coach Lamb. And so this is it for you. This is your season finale. This went pretty quickly, Coach Roderick. Yeah. But thank you. Man, I learned a lot. Appreciated your feedback and content every week. I know our fans learned a lot as well. Been a great year with you, and just thank you for being a part of it.
Thanks. It's been fun. I can't believe how fast it goes by, but really enjoyed it.
It's great that we had a lot of wins to break down on these Mondays with you.
Yeah, it's good. We're playing good football, man. This has been it's been a really challenging schedule, and I'm proud of our team for being where we are right now. And now it's just about staying focused and get in that next win and just keep respecting the game, keep getting the next win one at a time. That's the way we do it.
Well, in your first season as BYU's offensive coordinator, congratulations to you on the season you've put together, you and your staff and players. It's been a great year and more wins to come, and thank you again.
Thanks again.
All right, that's Aaron Roderick. Coming up next, we'll visit with defensive coordinator Elisha Tuiaki. This is the Coordinator's Corner. We're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys, back into Studio C on the BYU TV app right after this.
Get ready!
You are in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. BYU now 8-2. After taking care of Idaho State on the weekend, BYU now 16-0 all-time versus FCS opponents. Cougs moving up in the polls to 14th in the AP, 15th in the coaches. CFP rankings out tomorrow if BYU wins out. We'll see if the Cougs can put themselves in the at-large pool by the end of the season. We start the second half hour of the show with BYU defensive coordinator and defensive line coach, Eli Situyaki. Coach E, good to see you again.
Good to be back, Greg. Thanks.
Let's begin with you how we began with Coach Roderick, talking about your senior day on defense. Two guys you know you're losing, including one of your linemen, Lopale Atawa, and four guys you might lose, including one of your linemen, Earl Tuioti-Mariner. Maybe you could speak to Earl's situation first, one of those guys that put himself on the list, has been here a while. The guys, you know, more than just three seniors took the field, a lot of guys who might be gone. What do you think about the D in terms of people you might have to be without?
Yeah, you know, it's love the contribution that those guys have made through the years, and you know, you start to get banged up through the years, and you know, you have your family, and as you're talking with your spouse, for at least in Earl's case, just figuring out what they want to do, and I mean, Earl's been through a lot physically. He's many years just been battling with injuries and two shoulder surgeries and questions about whether or not he wants to just keep doing it. And obviously we just back him up with whatever decision he makes. We'd love to have him back, but also totally understand that sometimes it's you get to that point where it's time to hang it up.
It's been a while. You think about it. Both Earl and Lopa were part of Bronco Mendenhall's 2014 signing class.
That's right. They've been here for a long time, and both really have done a great job, but also just battle through some things physically, and I mean, just sometimes just a matter of just luck, you know, luck and bad luck. And Lopo was having a really good fall camp before he broke his leg last year, and so I think God willing and luck is on your side, then, and they feel good about just where their body's at. Drew Jensen's another one. You know, then you'll get them back. But if not, then salute them and love that they've had a great career and great contribution.
All right, let's get into the Idaho State week itself, FCS game. What are your expectations when you play that kind of team?
Execution is the biggest thing. I mean, it's you try to preach and just make sure that those guys are playing at a high level when it comes to just executing your job and tackling and all that stuff and on the defensive side. And I thought for the most part it was clean, but there's always things to clean up. I thought that there were some tackles that we missed that just should have been done better at. There were a couple of sudden changes, you know, the turnover and then the long kickoff return put us immediately in a spot where we needed to respond on defense and we didn't. We got to do better in those situations, and so a lot of just tactical things that we got to get better at.
Do you go into the game like that, telling certain guys you're going to play a half, you're going to come into the third, things like that, or do you have to wait and kind of see how the game unfolds a little bit?
You know, we wait just to see where it's at and how we're doing, and you know, obviously the players they're wise to it. They know that, you know, guys that normally aren't practicing on our side of the ball are getting some reps, and we're just kind of prepping them to make sure that they're ready when they get an opportunity to go in. You just never know where these games go. It's really just as soon as you start to feel pretty comfortable about where you're at with the lead, then you want to start pulling those guys that are critical to just finishing off the season the right way.
Knowing you have a bye week too, where guys can rest up a little bit.
Yep.
First six is Idaho State possessions. Five punts and a pick for them. Pepe Tanuvasa with the first INT of his career. Nice play by Pepe.
Yeah, that was. I've got that play saved in. That thing needs to be shown at a clinic. Just so we always the D line always joke around about how, obviously we do cut drills and you're trying not to get cut as a defensive lineman, but it happens. It happens to the best of us, and it's a matter of where your eyes and your hands are. All those things. Well, Pepe came from Navy. And Pepe never gets cut. Pepe is just unbelievably good at just defeating the cut block. And so that play where he defeats the cut block, the quarterback's looking his direction. So you've got to go from eyes and hands to defeat the cut. I got a sequence to see what's going on in the backfield. If the quarterback's looking my direction, I'm no longer rushing. I got to jump and play volleyball and try to bat it down. And if you're on the backside of it, if you defeat the cut block and the quarterback's not looking your direction, well, he's not going to be looking here and throwing that. And so you keep rushing, and you teach him like that, and you try to drill it up and get him going. But that was just unbelievably.
So he played it perfectly.
He played it perfectly, and it was just like, okay, put that one in the vault. That one goes in the vault to just show on how to defeat a cut block and play three-step.
Fantastic. Idaho State's first touchdown came on a short field after BYU lost that fumble. Even with only 17 yards for them to go between line of scrimmage and end zone, you're still looking to keep them off the board, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. We've got to respond well, and guys have got to come in. And, you know, there's obviously you give Idaho State credit for the first touchdown that they had on that short field was just really they schemed up something specific that we were in, and they did a good job with it, and it's just kind of the beater. But we've got to be better, just executing overall.
Do guys go in saying, all right, shutout, or as long as we're in the game, we're going to go shutout. We're going to say shutout the first half, or if it's the whole game, was shutout one of those things that you heard guys talk about or think about? And
I've never really said the word. We never really preach it, never talk about it. It's really just, execution. You never know how games go, and if the result of it is a shutout, then that's great. And I don't think I've ever been a part of a shutout yet in my career, I don't think.
Now I get to research that. All right. You're up 42-7 at halftime. Second half, first defensive series. Another pick. One of the more interesting interceptions you'll see from a guy who got his first start, I think, in Matthew Criddle.
Yeah, Matt Criddle. I mean, we're so excited for what he's done. He's obviously contributed on special teams. He's always been a depth guy for us. But with that safety group just being so banged up, he had, his number was called to – on senior day to come up and start for us and play. And I mean, he was totally competing all day, did a great job, did an awesome job.
He was competing on that play for sure, never gave up on the ball.
Absolutely, yep, fighting for it the whole way.
Yanked it away. The next six ISU drives were five punts and another short field score after the long kickoff return, just a 7-yard field that time. And on that kickoff return, a lot of guys had a shot at him, didn't he?
Yeah, that's like to get that one back. I mean, you had so many guys that just had an opportunity to go and make the play, but, credit their player, he's a good, strong player. And then, when Bourne came in and got the ball out, thought we had a chance, but 7 feet, I was close, but just not close enough.
Yeah. Blocked punt at the end of the game, there's the touchdown to have their final score be 14. The blocked punt at the end of the game, this became kind of a story. In addition, well, first of all, it was BYU's first blocked punt TD in 17 years, a long time. But then apparently there was a bet on the line. Something was on the line because Kyle Griffiths ended up shaving his head. Was it as a result of this play?
It was a result of that play. It was, if we, in special teams meeting in the morning on Saturdays, we talked and, Kyle just felt really confident about us being able to get one just because of how, he was really the one, the mastermind behind the scheme and did a really good job with it. And Coach Lamb checked off on it and he said, if we can get this thing. And, Fessy in the back of the meeting room said, you'll shave your head, right? We get one, you're gonna shave your head. And he was like, all right, yeah, I'll do it. And that's a great memory for him and the boys.
And on Military Appreciation Day, he looks ready to enlist at that point.
He did. It's, as soon as I saw him in the locker room after he shaved it, I was like, drop down and give me five.
We've talked about Kyle on the program before, but he's a former BYU player. Explain what his role is on the staff right now.
Yeah, he's a graduate assistant, so he's still going to school, but he, as a graduate assistant, you've got two on offense, two on defense. For us, he's on the defensive side, and he works specifically with myself and Coach Hadley with the D-line. And so, running scout teams and, individual meetings for guys that need to catch up. He's helps me a lot with preparing practice and all those things. And he's really just, when we're sitting and we're talking as a full-time staff with Kalani in the room, he's taking notes and he's just listening, taking notes, trying to learn and soaking it all up. And this is a great, great opportunity for graduate assistant to learn as much as he can, not just on defense, but obviously playing on offense and being so involved as he is in special teams and helping Coach Lamb out is huge for his career.
Is he kind of your right hand man in the booth as well up there?
It's me and Kyle. That's it. Yeah. We kind of went back and forth as far as how many guys we needed in the booth and whose eyes are where and what information are we getting back. And so finally we decided to go in the first game a week before the first game. Said, okay, we're going to do this with just myself and Kyle. And it's worked out. It's obviously there's growing pains with him getting his eyes where it needs to be and getting the feedback that we need, and me getting my eyes, really switching my eyes from the front where we normally had a backer guy and a secondary guy in the box. Now it's Kyle's been a little bit more involved with watching what the front's doing, and I'm taking my eyes more to the backer level, and we've got two sets of eyes in the secondary and just communicating that way.
Does Kyle want to take this long term? Does he want to be a coach? Moving
right now, he does. This is a great year to be a GA. You know, I was a graduate assistant at Utah in the Sugar Bowl year, and it's just, you know, you think that everything's just a great fun party, but you start to get into some jobs where you're really trying to build and change culture and all those things, and I think you get into those jobs, you really figure out, okay, is this really what I want to do or not? And I think Kyle right now is doing a great job, and he loves it. He wants to do it, and we'll see how long it lasts.
Well, he's a good dude. I always love seeing him on game day. Yeah. So the final score is 59-14 in this game. Two Idaho State touchdowns, but it was a 17-yard drive and a 7-yard drive. Without the two short fields, I think you would have had a legitimate shot at a shutout. They weren't putting a lot of long drives together on you. The score is the score. How do you look back at it?
Yeah, just proud of overall about the way that the boys played and responded, and we got a lot of guys in that got a lot of experience, and that's a huge thing to come away with a win, but also be able to put some snaps under some guys' belt and having those guys just getting a little taste of it was huge.
Okay, time for a break. When we come back, defensive and special teams players of the week when the coordinator's corner continues. We are brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. We're back with more after this inside Studio C. Stay with us.
Gronauer loads up and throws to a covered man. Criddle had the coverage. Did Criddle pick up with the interception? He did. Matthew Criddle takes it away from Shane Daly Jr. It appeared to be a catch on tight coverage by Criddle. And Criddle's coverage was so good, he tapped it away, knocked it off his chest, and has the pick.
That's how it went down. We are back on the coordinator's corner with BYU defensive coordinator and defensive line coach Eli Satuiaki. BYU coming off its 59-14 home win over Idaho State on Saturday afternoon. It was BYU's earliest home finale in 33 years. You're already done with the home season. I feel like it was like here and gone in a flash.
It felt a lot like a mission. If you've gone on a mission, it's like, it feels like it's going forever, right? I mean, we went fall camp and then 10 weeks straight. I mean, it felt like 3.5-4 months of just grinding, but then it really is done in a blink of an eye, and can't believe we played this many games already.
We're going to take a look at players of the week in a second, but aside from some great individual efforts, overall, what are you most appreciative of the first 10 weeks?
Appreciative of the players and the fans, you know, I mean, just an opportunity to be a part of this great program and organization and all the people that have put so much into it. I mean, our players have done so much for us as coaches, as, you know, for the fans and for what the fans have done, really, too. Just the way that they've packed the place and traveled well everywhere we've gone. It's been a phenomenal season to be part of.
Our viewers on the screen see some of the superlatives for BYU defensively. These are just top 25 stats, and a lot of them deal with a really important stat being the turnover margin. You're a big part of that, and that's been a large reason that you're 8-2.
Yeah, that's huge to come away with them, but it's also huge the way that our offense is taking care of the ball, and to be plus 10 right now is a big reason why we're winning.
Let's get to special teams and defensive players of the week now. Coach Lamb gave us the special teams honorees. We'll take a look at those first. And there are a handful of guys to take a look at and to talk about. And first up are Keanu Hill and Hobbs Nyberg.
Yeah, obviously with Keanu, with his block and touchdown was huge. And Hobbs has just been a steady contributor for us. And just, you know, take it for granted having a returner that's just so clutch and catching the ball and giving us yards. And Hobbs has been great for us, but those two are doing a good job in special teams.
And then with Coach Lamb, we have the top block and top rock honorees as well.
Yep, a lot of the same faces that you've seen, the guys that have contributed with Drew Jensen and Jacob Boren, but, you know, Terrence Falls has been great to have him. I mean, he does a good job on scout team for us as a receiver, and I think he's got a bright future.
And for defense, your defensive players of the week?
Yeah, Bepetano Vasa for his stats and just the way that he's played. Obviously, those two involved with the two interceptions, but so proud of both of them, but so proud of Criddle and the way that he was able to step in and contribute for us, but just such a huge game and a start for him.
And I think for Matthew, he was part of the Senior Day honoree celebrations, right? So he was going, so basically it was his last home game,
yep.
First start and first pick.
Yeah, yep, that's right. It's such a huge game for him and for what he's done for us.
And now that you've been able to look back at it, Keenan Peely was lost so early in the season. A lot of folks forget that how big a role he was going to occupy. What is Keenan's situation moving forward? He comes back and gets healthy and is back on this defense again?
Yeah. I think, getting him back would be huge for us. And, obviously with the other guys coming back as well, I mean, we're going to just add more to the depth and we're going to need it moving forward going to the next year's schedule as well as just moving into the Big 12.
Yeah, how much of, and before the break here really quickly, do you guys feel like you're pacing to where you need to be knowing what's in the pipeline to be ready for a Big 12 play here in a couple of years?
Yeah, we're so young. I mean, we've got a lot of young guys and, obviously we'd love to have, 10 Keenans out there playing for us and rotating, and so just continuing to recruit guys with development potential and getting them to where they need to be, and the guys that are currently in the program that are doing a really good job just continuing to develop those guys.
Thanks, Heath. Time for a break. We step away. We'll remind you that for your daily Cougar Sports play-by-play, tune in weekdays to BYU Sports Nation at noon Eastern time. Coming up in our final segment of this week's show, a look ahead to this bye week. You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. We return right after this.
Coordinator's Corner is brought to you in part by JCW's The Burger Boys, BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event, and by Siegfried and Jensen, serving Utah families for over 30 years.
All right, Coordinator's Corner brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Final minute with defensive coordinator and D-line coach Eli Satuiaki. After 10 hard weeks, bye week, how do you guys handle this week?
Yeah, trying to get as healthy as we can, but still start prepping for the next week, the next two opponents, and making sure that we're ready for them. They're a little different, and so we've got to make sure that we're tightened up in what we're preparing for the following week against USC. But just really the big thing is get guys back.
One final quick comment from social media from Amy, who says, I wish Coach E was on last week. He did a heck of a job in the second half against Virginia. Incredible, keeping such a prolific Virginia offense to only 7 points in the half. And considering the number of injuries, it was phenomenal. So thanks, Coach, says Amy. So that was a wild one. I'm glad you got that one, too.
Yeah.
All right. That'll do it for this week. We will have a bye week next week, so no show next week. In 2 weeks, you'll be back for our season finale. So we'll see you then.
All right.
All right, that is Coach Eli Satuiaki. That'll do it for the Coordinator's Corner. We're back with you in 2 weeks from today at 11 a.m. Mountain Time. No show next week with the bye week. For coaches Roderick and Tuiaki, I am Greg Rubel. We will see you in 2 weeks. Have a great week and go Cougs. This has been the Coordinator's Corner. We'll see you.